I was hoping we were budgeting conservatively in the first place.
Oh, we've always budgeted conservatively. What these do is make it less conservative. Mm-hmm. These will create a scenario where Jerry is more likely. I still don't think most likely, but he has a greater chance of having to come in and say, the snow events for this year led for a need for more salt. Or depending how the police chief recommends allocating that 20, something could happen where he says, you know, we had a retaining wall go, and my maintenance budget doesn't have enough to support that. Or, you know, we had a meteor hit 3 of our cars at the same time. I don't have enough money to replace them. That kind of thing.
As far as the administration, other departments, what is that? Is that basically your department budget for $16,500?
It would be admin, IT, building maintenance, building inspection, clerk. Most of those are, I know I can cover, figure out ways within the budgets that I have direct oversight for to be able to do it.
Well, I was actually looking at your budget, and I was looking at there should be able to take $5,000 out of that budget. This is before you did this. So I don't know if that, without knowing where these 16.5 is coming from, I don't know if the 5,000 I was looking at is an addition to this or not. So where is the breakdown? When will we get a breakdown on what categories these amounts came from?
If the Common Council, as we work with the state, and then if you do have another meeting, I would be turning after this meeting to each of the department heads to say, how do you propose to fill that? I would do the same thing.
Well, obviously, we're not going to make a motion to adopt the budget or go out for the public notice until a lot of this stuff is cleaned up, so we're going to have that other meeting. So I'm right on board with that. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, like I said at the very beginning, I wasn't prepared to make motions and amendments and things like that tonight. That was my mindset when I met with you two this afternoon. And then with the information that you shared with me, what you got an hour before we met, I thought even more of a reason why we should postpone these types of decisions next week so you can, you know, look at, fine-tune, decide where we should cut, what we should do. I mean, right off the bat, on the computer aid situation, the fact that the state made an attempt or start talking about eliminating it altogether should make us be cautious. I mean, for years we heard about the hotel tax, and now that's going to happen. Not until, 2017. And I go back to when I was on finance committee with my friend Alderman Solomon in the audience, and we had an issue with interest revenue. And what do? We started weaning ourselves off it. Right, Tim? We started saying we can't put $400,000 when we am getting $100,000 and creating a $300,000 problem. So I think the answer to moving forward on the computer aid is to start weaning ourselves off of it for the simple fact that I can see it going away. Now, there's nothing we have with a fall session here where the legislature will get back together and meet, and they'll pass a whole bunch of different types of reforms. Then next year is basically a campaign year. They'll go to Madison from January to maybe April, and then we'll pay their salaries while they campaign for their jobs for the entire summer. So for 8 months, we'll be paying our state reps and state senators, you know, 2/3 of their salary to campaign for their jobs. Then you're going to have another biennium budget. And expect the governor, if he's still here, or if he's not, and the legislature to push even more conservative agenda, knowing that the most likely Republican governor won't be there in 18. And that's when they're going to take the last whack at the municipalities and other types of revenue. So I would say that it's in our best interest, if you look at anything that's gone on since 2010, to start weaning ourselves off of some of these things. So that's the first thing. Regarding the light equipment operator, what I see when I read pages 92 and 93 is we're taking land, free land from MMSD. We're creating trails, in parks. We had the new Kayla's crew. And yes, we were taking over 68th Street. We're taking, which will be this fall, we'll be plowing that. Next fall, we'll be plowing 68th Street and North Cape. And the following fall, we'll be doing all three. Now, at St. Martin's. And that's the price of doing business in Milwaukee County, if you want your roads done. Now, unless you're going to be Glendale, Glendale gave Milwaukee County $600,000 to move a road up. I'm working with Oak Creek right now on 13th Street, that they're going to help give us a bunch of money to move their roads up. So that's the price of doing business, unless you want to wait for your roads to get done. You have $300 million of deferred maintenance. So the point is, on the light equipment operator, when we take on MMSD land and we add parks and trails, there's a cost to it, and now we're footing the bill. So there is nothing free. You know, we got to spend these impact fees. We got to build these parks. We got to do it now, and now we're going to have to pay for it. And so when you have a little growth, which about 1%, right, less than 1% growth, and last year, I'm not sure what the growth was last year, in the last two budgets, we're adding staff. After years of, like, trying not to lay off people. I remember it was, like, 08 or 09 was the first when we laid off maybe an inspector, our water engineer, laid off a few people. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting into the point of adding staff, which I don't really think is the best idea. Now, I can be sold on it. I haven't talked to Jerry, and Jerry knows that at some point the next week I'll come out down to DPW, and you'll walk me around and show me the different things you're going to be purchasing in that, and I trust Jerry and his judgment. And I'm just getting to know Glenn, because I could have those same conversations with Jack all those years. But adding a person is because of the things that we've brought on ourselves. You know, so when you're looking at adding, you know, and I always thought prior to the last couple budgets, all about taxes, taxes, taxes. Now it looks like we're focusing on quality of life issues, which are great, but it seemed to be always taxes, taxes. Zero levy, it's the levy stupid, levy, levy, levy. It's not about the tax rate. And now we're doing something totally different this year's budget and last year's by adding bodies. And, you know, we have this compensation study that's been, you know, going on for years. And I take a, and when we had the meeting today, I'm like, we have a recruitment issue, we have a retention issue, are people just flying out of the building? We've lost an inspector to Oak Creek, we've lost an engineer to Oak Creek. I was told we've had some dispatch issues, a few there. But I guarantee if we have an opening, we put an ad in the paper, we're getting people coming here. All right? It's good salary, it's good benefits, and benefits where people are focusing on now. So that's why it's good that tonight we're not going to make a bunch of motions, and we're going to be able to, you know, sit back and take this all in and give the mayor, you know, the next week to meet with staff and have department heads figure out how they're going to come up with it. But I planned on coming into this budget trying to figure out how to get to 0% levy and trying to find $149,000. And if we had $149,000, these numbers wouldn't hurt as bad. $149,000, we'd still have the light equipment operator. We'd still have the benefit and compensation. But now we have, instead of 149, we have $402,000 to get to 0%. So that's just me sitting back the last year and a half and analyzing and just having a few things to add. Thank you.
Mr. LeVert.
Just one clarification. We do have a number of positions when they advertise that we don't get application for. This year we've had at least two. I think if you asked the police chief for his comments on the ability to get people of the quality and nature that he wants in the turnover. It has been a struggle to get good lists. But we have actual jobs we've posted where we've had fewer than a couple people who apply who meet minimum qualifications.
Building inspection twice.
Okay. Is the police department in this compensation study?
The command staff.
The command staff?
Yeah.
But not the represented?
Correct. So they still have union contracts that both expire at the end of this year, and as soon as we get through through this process. We'll begin those negotiations very shortly.
And we've had that issue with command staff for years, right?
Alderman Schmidt. See, I could tell you had some.
Well, I was ready to move on to another topic. One of the things I have some concern with is the library fund. You see, this is a department that is being affected, too, by the compensation study, where there are about a dozen positions there that are going to be troubled to be funded, even to bring them up to what the bottom level would be to make them competitive for the positions. And I'm a little concerned about the shortfall in the funding of the budget, since even the state's reciprocal borrowing has gone through like a $40,000 reduction just in the past 2 years, and trying to compensate for that. Only the library is one of the gems of our community. I hate to see that shortfall take place there, and what the library, all of the activities and everything that provides for the community. And of course, public libraries were just showcased in the journal a couple weeks ago about what a asset they are to communities and what the most utilized facilities. So I'm trying to figure out where exactly are we falling in this, with this trying to hold down costs here, and how much can we allocate for the library? Are we going to continue to make a downfall, or is there potential for like adding maybe $60,000 to the budget?
If you look at the first sheet I handed out, the one titled Mayor's Recommended 2016, it's the adjustments to official budget appropriation units for the classification compensation study. That shows an additional transfer of $35,000 to the library of existing property tax as part of balancing the funding of the implementation of it. So it's not the $60,000, it's $35,000. Potential the cost estimate for, though, for the increases that would be needed based upon the implementation as discussed in pages 83 through 87, and as talked with the employees, and I did have two separate meetings with library employees as well, their cost could be in the neighborhood of $48,000. That's shown right on the sheet under general fund totals. You see then the other fund, the library fund. Because I was dealing with the issue of the 253, we only transferred the reduction in the general fund, that amount, to the library, recognizing that this year's budget already anticipated an additional $12,000 in levy. So if you add that $12,000 to the $35,000 additional, that gets you within a sliver of the anticipated increase in 2016 for implementation of the classification and compensation study in there. So it does fund that within there, but in doing that, it's using up the $12,000 they were previously told they could anticipate in added levy.
Oh, it was that what doesn't really compensate though for the reduction in the reciprocal borrowing, does it, from the
no
state?
This budget hasn't attempted to address any of those
issues.
Added revenue issues, though.
And that may continue to decline also now with the creek opening a new library and stuff, that may offset some of the utility of our library, even though it's still one of the most widely used in Washington. Is there any potential room for any movement in this? Maybe bumping it up to 10,000 or anything?
It ends up becoming part of the overall equation. Obviously, from the sheet we talked about shared revenues, if the state says, oops, we made a mistake, your computer revenues are still higher, then one of these other things could be offset to transfer more to the library fund. So it's sort of a a net sum game at this point if you're adding something to the library fund that they're going to use for an operating basis, then you want to make sure you're giving them something from a source that is sustainable.
What we have here is the inverse of what Alderman Taylor's trying to get to.
Right.
And Alderman Taylor's comment relative to governmental aids, if you go to page 1 or page 2 or whatever it was, there's a whole section, actually go to 206A, the whole section that says intergovernmental, all of that's at risk. None of that's assured. I mean, so you pick and choose what you think is at most at risk. The reality is as municipal leaders, we have to budget conservatively against these numbers year by year, not year over year. So,
and you still get thrown a curveball every once in a while.
Absolutely.
You know, but I mean, I think you should, if I may, I think you need to, we have to be aware of what direction the state's going and who's running the state. I mean, we've seen in all different issues where, you know, local control is being removed. I mean, we've had a number of issues facing Franklin. I mean, one that's pretty big to this community that's, you know, we still don't know what's going to happen then. I'm talking about Clayfish's bill. You know, and so when you see them take an attempted whack at something, and how many years do we sit here and send a resolution to Madison saying leave the hotel tax alone? And a little, but now you get a very far right leaning, you know, group of people running the state. There's no more moderates. There's no more Jeff Stones, you know, to try to work things out, to try to protect the municipalities, and we are getting annihilated. And that's going to continue. And so that's why, you know, the mayor's right. I mean, if you look at page 206A and you see the different intergovernmental aids, we should be aware and be cautious of the ones where there's been attempts to eliminate and prepare ourselves for it, or else next year or 2 years from now, forget the $330,000. It could all be gone, or being told, and that's a problem. So what are we going to do next year's budget when we lose $180,000 in hotel tax revenue? Is there a plan for that? What are we going to cut then? That goes back to add things, to add bodies, and to increase our cost, and to, you know, as much as I love the library, to add more money, we're going to be sitting here next year with already, we know, without anything else changing, $180,000 or so in hotel tax, right?
Which is why you got a $149,000 increase this year.
Yeah.
You got to look at the big picture, absolutely.
Well, I wasn't included in the deliberation of putting this budget together, just like previous budgets. So now it's in the, like, as I, if I recall, like I said, this is new to me, because for the first 4 years I was here, Finance Committee did the budget. Then we decided the last 2 years I was here that the Common Council at Committee of the Whole would take care of the budget. Now, that meeting, which is a Committee of the Whole just like today, the Council President, which happened to be me, ran the meeting, and Mayor Taylor was either in the audience or he left. So I didn't know what happened last year, but you're here, and that wasn't how we did it the first 2 years under the change. So I don't know if there was a council direction or policy change to have the mayor be a part of this, because now it's in the council's hand. He gave us a budget. Now it's ours, and it's us to own. And the 253 is not the mayor's fault. It's not our fault. We just have to deal with it. And having the mayor here and being involved in that, that's great. The 149, if I hear someone raise it more, that's not going to come from me. And there's some up here that I think want to cut it. So this will be interesting. That's why I think it's good to have a little more time to come up with some creative ways. And I know Alderman Wilhelm brought up the general fund, and can you maybe go into that a little bit? The fund balance. How in 20, you know, 20 on page 1, in 2013, beginning of the year, we had $6.5 million, and now we're looking in, well, 2016, at the request, almost $8.5 million. That's $2 million.
Yeah, I'm gonna let Paul talk.
I mean, it's
good management.
Well, Mayor Taylor did a heck of a job. You're right. I agree.
So
how you want to go into the discussion a little bit about the fund balance?
Sure. In 2013, the year began with $6.5 million. My eyes read this small type well enough. We had a surplus that year of $1.278 million, giving us a fund balance of $7,781,000. In 2014, the SIG generated a $850,000 surplus, increasing the fund balance to $8.6 million. I would remind the Common Council that in those 2 years, 2013 and 2014, the general fund was advancing funds to the sewer fund to make the Clean Water Fund principal and interest loans. And so at the end of 2014, $2.273 million was non-spendable because the general fund didn't have the funds any longer. It had a note receivable from the sewer fund, which had a note receivable from MMSD. In 2015, the general fund budgeted a deficit of $1,450,000. We did not anticipate spending $950,000 of that, as it was the reserve contingency that we don't ever plan on using. That it was to maintain the expenditure restraint program that the state runs. And we transferred out of the general fund. We planned to transfer $675,000. To date, we've transferred $500,000 out. So that did generate a small deficit for the year. And you might recall that during the calendar year of 2015, the Common Council has authorized several expenditures primarily related to development that will also generate a small, use up some of that contingency reserve. For 2016, the mayor's recommended budget includes a $1,007,000 deficit. The transmittal letter to you at the beginning outlined that a significant portion of that was, again, contingency reserve that we do not anticipate spending, and that about $100,000 of that is the one-time wage issue related to the additional work day of leap year in 2016. There were some development expenditures, I believe, of $25,000 included in that, which are one-time kinds of items coming out of the fund balance. And one other item.
Leap year?
I mentioned that one. There were a couple minor costs. That's right. There was an additional $50,000 for the 2017 renewal of the Buxton contract. That would be an expenditure in 2016. Again, anticipated to be a one-time type expenditure.
So basically, we're really at roughly, what, $6.2 million once you take out the MMSD money, which we really, is that right? Is that where we're at, $6.2?
Right.
And what should we be at? Well, I mean, we have to be within, we set our own policy at a
Our own policy has the fund balance anywhere between 15% and 30% of the next year's expenditure level.
So where would that put us? What's the ideal spot then?
We are currently right at the roof on that. We're up at around 30%.
So we can, and that's typically we've drawn down and used that on projects. So we are in a position on one-time projects, not ongoing one-time projects. Okay. Okay. Thank you for a good explanation.
Anyone else? Alderman Schmidt.
I had a couple other topics relating to Jerry. Referring to page 151. Request again, I believe it's like the second year to come up with the salt storage barn, about a $301,000 expenditure. How necessary is this, or is this, how vital is this to the future of your preparing for the winter?
This gives me an opportunity to answer a question directly brought up by Alderman Taylor. I'm sitting here not as an active participant, but to answer the questions of my budget. I'm not really defending it. Well, I am defending it, but mildly. But this is your meeting, and I'm merely here to do my job in the middle chair to direct it. This particular item I left in the budget, it's the third year I've seen it. It relates to our ability to store the salt that we have on order. Glenn, you want to do this or you want Jerry? All right. Jerry?
Don't rush. Don't rush up.
Last year, I will tell you, it was the first thing that left the budget, and it made Jerry irritated.
Oh, well, they don't want to do that. I want my street plowed.
And Jerry mentioned that this is the need, and went down and looked at it. I agree. It's got some issues. If we store too much salt in it, fully stretching it, as far as the structural integrity of that building. We actually have a, you know, it's 301,000 actually get a senior design group to actually do some pre-planning. It's like to incorporate not just the salt storage, but the incorporation of the mixing of the various fuels that we use on the road. And talking with Paul, I guess this wouldn't be a, if we push it off yet, that wouldn't hurt our feelings a lot. But we'd like to at least plan for it. The thought was this year we would work on the culvert issue that popped up on St. Martin's Road and get everything lined up so we have a good idea.
Yeah, no, again, when Glenn had set up on salt drying production, we're actually doing that right now on the site probably close to the main. And that's something that would be much more efficient and effective if we had a place for storage of salt that's mixed with beetroot salt drying production. There's no doubt we can serve on salt. Salt costs have gone up drastically. 1 year we went up almost over 15% margin. So we're paying over $60 a ton for salt. When a truck pulls out of the yard, it basically has about 6 tons of salt on it. And that's what's used on one road, you know, for one salt, so we start to multiply that. If any way we can conserve our salt usage, not only for the environment, but for just the cost of the salt.
Well, obviously the salt brine has been very popular, I think, for most residents would agree with. How much would it increase the capacity? I mean, are you able to mix enough salt brine to last you X number of months or a whole winter? Or how far in advance can you start? Of course, it depends, I suppose, too, on how severe the weather is.
Well, that's the problem we have right now is in the real cold weather, the best way to break the ice down is using beetroot and salt mixed together. And with what we have right now, there's just nowhere to do that. So the guys have to do that as they use it. On overtime, we basically have to start mixing it as the trucks pull out. And then you're there trying to do that. It's not an efficient way of doing it. It doesn't work as well because you don't get it mixed properly. And we're doing that. If we had a bigger, larger salt storage building, we would be able to have that all pre-mixed. You could actually mix it as you put it into the building. One building to have is possible.
So you're saying be able to prepare it during more like downtime or something than so there would be some cost savings generated by that?
Oh, there's no doubt. When you think of our budget, the road salt budget is around $130,000 a year. And you know, we're looking at $300,000 for a building that we've been using every 30 or 40 years. And then who knows where salt prices are going up? Because every year they're going up. And if you have a bad winter, it jumps off.
Have you reviewed this with Leroy?
not presently.
Huh.
I have one other question since we have the gentleman here. Under the parks development, among the trails, the Christine Rathke Memorial Park Trail, 82,500. Are we putting that in there just to use up impact fees? I mean, since we already Payne and Dolan had already said that they weren't interested in developing this trail, is there any reason why we still want to include this expenditure on the park trail?
I thought I took that out. Mr. Rosenberg. And after you do that, I'm going to jump in here. We've moved to the capital improvement fund. Can you discuss how that's impacting the levy and the rate?
While you're putting that up, I can say one thing about salt farms. We decided to take that out because there's no idea of pre-planning.
How do you pre-plan?
Figure out exactly what we're doing.
You don't pre-plan, you plan. That's like near master.
Oxymoron.
I got you.
That's all the questions I had for now.
All right, Mr. Rosenberg.
In general, it does leave us basically an appropriation that can then be reused for any other park purpose. If you recall, for example, this year's budget, a similar thing occurred with the St. Martin's Trail appropriation, or North Cape Trail appropriation. Even though by the time we got the budget adopted, it was known that that wasn't moving forward, that appropriation was still there, and then that was used for other general park purposes. So it still creates a good park purpose appropriation, even though it's currently titled the one that, even though everybody liked it at this point, said we'll be able to move, but that appropriation can then be used for other park purposes.
So even though it's earmarked for one particular title, it can move to a different project?
Yes, just it takes a budget modification. So we do that just like we did, as I said, with the North Cape Road Trail. We have the same sort of appropriation issue this current year.
Yeah, but I thought I gave it the big red pen. Mr. Rosenberg.
Mr. Mayor, I must have misunderstood your direction because it is still in the budget, as recommended.
Obviously. So then can you discuss the impact of the Capital Improvement Fund on the tax levy and the rate, please?
Capital Improvement Fund on a current year basis does not impact the tax levy because there's no tax levy support directly to this. But to the extent that the Capital Improvement Fund requires a borrowing and the 2016 budget does anticipate a $2 million borrowing. That borrowing then becomes a portion of future debt service levy. And so this would have an impact on future debt service levies as they may occur.
So if you're looking for $149 anywhere to get it. Alderman Taylor, then Alderman Mayor.
Is there a reason why we're doing $2 million?
After the $2 million borrowing, the fund is anticipated to have a $100,000 balance. So the $2 million is there to support the mayor's recommended projects.
But, I mean, if we pushed off, we borrow every other year, correct? That's what we've typically been doing.
We did borrow in 2014, and 2016 would be the next year that we typically schedule a borrowing for.
And so if we're looking at, and then well, the mayor asked the question regarding There's no levy, which I knew the answer to that we could have for this year. But then future years, you're dividing, what, is that 10-year borrowing? You're dividing that $2 million up over 10 years with interest? Is that
correct? That would be correct. If you want to see the schedule related to that debt payment, that would be included on your book, page 174. And it would indicate that in 2017, there would be $138,000 requirement for debt service for that particular borrowing. In 2018, $186,000 of tax levy to support that borrowing. In 2019, $231,000. And then by the time you get to 2025, it would be $410,000. So that's all scheduled there for you. And this is based upon an assumed interest rate that would occur next fiscal year, and then it would be set in stone because they're fixed interest rates.
Could you, for next week, could you have what $1 million would look like spread out over the same period of time?
Yes.
All right, I request that.
But to do that, Alderman, there would be then insufficient funding in this fund to fund all the projects, so we would have to remove $1 million worth of spending.
Right, I get that.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course we'd have to do that. Regarding there's an issue on sidewalks, $100,000. Several citizens have requested sidewalks be placed on their street, engineering $100,000. I think we kind of briefly talked about that at the meeting we had last week on a separate subject. Could you go in a little more detail on that? And this goes to what I talked about earlier. You had sidewalks. Are there going to be ones that we maintain, or is it going to be ones that actually the residents maintain? And then, now that if that's $100,000 that we're putting in the budget annually, couldn't that money go towards the roads program, which we probably could always do more every year in roads? And now you're going to add sidewalks based on what request?
Yeah, and the idea was previously we actually dedicated money to certain sidewalk projects. We decided we really wanted a sidewalk, and then we tried to convince residents that they wanted a sidewalk in the front yard. Often difficult. So the thought here was, let's open this program up, see who would actually be interested in these sidewalks in their front yard, so we don't have to fight as many people if we will to put sidewalks in. Take those requests in. We do get requests in the engineering department asking for sidewalks on their street, both residents and the business park. And so the thought was, is once we collect those, if you give me a budget number to work with, we could go out and estimate it and then pick the sidewalk probably to present to you like we do the street program, saying here's the sidewalks we're about to put in. As far as who maintains them, obviously, you know, on St. Martin's, we're looking to do a 6-foot or what we call a path. We would maintain that. We can have a discussion during each one. Should it be a sidewalk or should it be a pathway? And we can discuss pros and cons for each one at that time.
All right, thank you.
Alderman Mayer, and then Alderman Willing.
$301,000 for the salt storage. That seems fairly specific. Is that for the whole entire building?
Well, yes. $300,000 was just an estimate, and then with $30,000 in there for the planning efforts, we're looking to have a student design project with like MSOE to come in and actually turn into a project where they would look at space, how it should be laid out.
Okay, my experience with design has not been very cheap in this city, so I guess I'm trying to figure out where $1,000 would do that. And it's obviously a very simple building. Jerry, you could probably answer.
Well, yeah, Jerry, I'll let Jerry finish up. We're looking to have students actually do the class project. But there will be some reimbursable.
Okay.
No.
Okay. I'm just wondering what kind of a building it is then, if you can please explain it to me.
Basically, it would be similar to what we have. If you drove down the road, it looks like a large barn. Simple.
At the DPW or?
Yeah. Okay. If you drive by, if you look in the yard, the large building in the back, the salt storage building, be about the same size as the one we have, except we have a lean-to on it for salt brine production and the storage of the tanks. And salt brine tanks, they don't have to be in those. The brine production area would have to be heated, but that would just be a small area.
How long has the brine been used in the city of Franklin?
I would say
8 years. No.
Five years.
Yeah.
And we found that the pre-wetting salt is what I personally feel really has helped with breaking down hard packed ice, if you will. You never saw it when you have a snowstorm, it gets really cold at night and stays cold. Rose salt just doesn't work. After 20 degrees, 15 degrees, if you're lucky, you just have to put more and more and more. That's where the usage really goes up. And with the beaches, it's amazing that it'll penetrate the ice and it breaks the bond between the ice and the pavement. And you're going to be able to get the ice off. We've really saved a lot of salt money. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but you wouldn't believe the amount of salt that the resident can call it. And if we can blow off the salt now, we won't do a thing, it'll blow off the road. We want to place road salt just so we can get it when it gets cold. And beet juice makes it stick.
Do you feel by using the beet juice that should actually save on personnel costs too? Because you wouldn't have to go out as often.
Well, personnel costs, I think it would save on having the storage. You know, you can still have to do what you have to do to get the salt. Having the road salt mixed, pre-mixed, because we spend a lot of time going there and trying to mix the salt or, you know, getting prepared, you know, at all of a sudden 3 in the morning, because you can't leave salt stored outdoors after you when we start mixing the beet juice with the salt, we have to either immediately put it on all the trucks and then have that ready to go, and we're going in anticipation of a snowstorm there. And then we may not have a snowstorm, so then we actually have to try and unload it and find a place to store it until we do. And so it gets very time consuming just to have that building there where it could be available as needed, you know, for the snowstorm. Then you're going down the line in 16 trucks, and well, what does that one have on it? That one has this, and it's just it's very complicated. It really creates confusion.
Okay, thank you.
We were one of the first communities to do beet juice. And Jerry, how are we doing now? This is just information. Sorry, I'm getting off. How are we doing on automated spreaders?
Spreader we have controls? All automated. The spreader is calibrated. It's set. Yeah, we're very conservative about
that. Hey, Tim and I.
Back in 1998, La Crosse, when I was an alderman there, started